Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
God stands with His people. Have you ever stood alone or feel as if you are standing alone? Have you ever been in a position where you had to take a stand and it was very clear that one position was ungodly, one position was a place that you could not stand, and yet the other position, it was very clear and obvious as to what you must do as a Christian. And you were convicted not only with regard to the stand that you must take, but you were convinced that you were going to make that stand. And as you made the position that you were going to take the stand that you certainly ended up taking, others also said, "We're going to stand with you." We see that the position that people are wanting us to take is not right. And for that reason, we also hold to the same convictions and beliefs as you do with regard to this matter. And we are going to not allow you to stand alone. We're going to stand beside you. However, as you took that position and that stand, because it was not popular, the people who promised to stand with you, they did not follow through. They did not stand where you took the stand. And as a result of that, it was very difficult to stand due to all of the pressure, due to the fact that now you feel as if you're standing alone. But not only does it appear to you as if you're standing alone, you're being persecuted and ridiculed by the opposition for the position that you have taken. Have you ever been in that point? And I would trust that all of us, at least to some level or some degree, has faced that moment in our life where that we have made that stand and we feel as if we're the only one standing at this point for our position. Friends, tonight I tell you that while it might have appeared and while you may have stood alone by yourself here in this world, there was one who continued to stand with you, and that is, without any question, our God. The Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, experienced this same type of a feeling, I believe, while He was here. Take into consideration, I believe that Jesus realized that when He came to this world, He came to live, suffer, bleed, and die, eventually upon Calvary's cross. He knew heaven's eternal plan not only required Him to come as the Messiah, but that God's plan for Him mandated, it commanded that He die a shameful death on the cruel cross of Calvary. Christ, the Bible tells us that during the time in which He was here, He was betrayed. He was betrayed by some of His own. We understand that Judas betrayed the Lord, and as a result of this betrayal, he was arrested. And friends, during the time of His arrest, we do not see any of the apostles coming to His rescue. And then also we understand, as the Scripture identifies to us, is that He was beaten. He was beaten in a way that is unimaginable for you and me in our present age. And He was tried. And while He was tried, friends, the Bible identifies to us is that He was tried and convicted, falsely I might add, alone. No one was there with Him. No one stood in His defense. None of the disciples came in to stand beside Him. In fact, we understand even Peter, who said that he would even dare to die for the Lord, he ended up denying that he knew the Lord. The Lord's disciples even forsook Him from time to time. During the time of His personal ministry, as we mentioned this morning in the book of John chapter 6 and verse 66, there was a point where the disciples walked with Him no more. But in a more ultimate sense, when He went to the cross, none of them was hanging there beside Him. Jesus went to the cross Himself. And certainly you and I today understand that that was a part of heaven's eternal plan, and that He must go to the cross, and that it was through the shedding of His blood. But from a personal standpoint, from a human's point of view, can you imagine how that our Lord and Savior must have felt at that given time? Peter, the brave disciple, even denied our Lord and Savior Jesus whenever He died on the cross. This morning I did a parallel in regard to what we find about Christ and His optimism, and then the Apostle Paul And this morning, I'm not only going to use Christ and how that He stood alone, but also the Apostle Paul again. And I find it interesting that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul says, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." And therefore, tonight we're going to use him along beside Christ again. Why? Because he's also doing the same thing that we see Christ doing. The Apostle Paul sacrificed and devoted his life for our Lord and Savior. He proclaimed the gospel and he said, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Christ." There was this burning fire within him to go out and to make disciples, to go out and to stand for our Lord and Savior. And as a result of his going out and standing for the Christ, the Bible tells us that he did more than the other apostles. Some people suggest that he did more because he was trying to make up lost ground. He maybe did more because of the time that he stood against the Lord, and therefore he's overworking himself in order to catch up. I think that Paul did more than the rest of the apostles, not for that reason, but rather because of his love for God, and he gave his entire life for the Lord. And certainly what an example he serves to you and me today. Friends, we find that he sacrificed and that he devoted his entire life for the cause of Christ. And as a result of that, he was not a popular person amongst those who stood against our Lord. Certainly the Christians would have embraced him. Certainly they welcomed him into not only their town, but they welcomed him into their home from time to time. But there were individuals who were not after what Christ was offering. And as a result of Paul's commitment and devotion to the Lord, not only did they stand in opposition to God, but friends, they also stood in opposition to the Apostle Paul. Alexander the coppersmith, the Scripture tells us that he did the Apostle Paul much harm. And how did Paul feel about this? Friends, as we read from the context of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 and following, he is in prison. And he's at the point where he's had to give a defense for not only himself, but because of what it is that he has been doing for the cause of Christ. And the Scripture tells us that at his defense, he stood alone. All of his companions, all of those individuals that he had poured his heart out for, all of those who would have stood with him and likely had said, "Paul, you're not going to go through this alone. Paul, we're going to be right beside you." All of these individuals were not beside him, were not there for him whenever he was there to give a defense. In fact, the Scripture tells us that he explicitly says, "I stood alone." Yet, friends, at the same time, we read from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18 to note that he did not stand completely alone. While his friends were not there for him, while his companions were not beside him to help to support him, the Bible tells us that the Lord was there with him to strengthen and to encourage him during the time that he needed him most. Let's examine some of our God's promises along the way. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament Scripture that God promised Israel that He would be with them throughout the course of their battles. And the Scripture identifies to us is that Israel had many battles as they were longing for and as they were heading towards the Promised Land. The land that God said was flowing with milk and honey. The land that He was giving unto them as an inheritance because they were His special chosen people, His elect. And God wanted them to understand that the challenges they faced along the journey, that it was going to be difficult from time to time. And whenever they engaged in battle, is that they were going to be beaten down and that they were going to find themselves in a very wearied state. But God says, understand that you are not going alone. I am going with you in the battle. What does He mean? He means that not only are you going to feel My presence, but also you're going to realize My presence as I'm working with you to become victorious over the nations who are opposing you and ultimately then who were opposing God. Friends, what do we find in regard to what God has promised Israel? Joshua, a leader in Israel, the Scripture identifies to us is that he led Israel into the Promised Land. And Israel received all of land promise that God had vowed unto these people. And why is it that Joshua was able to lead them into the promised land? It was because of his commitment to God and because of his devotion to love God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. But also, friends, Joshua understood, as well as Caleb, I believe, understood and realized that without any question at all, God was working with them, and he knew that God was going to be with him, Joshua, as a leader of leading Israel on in to the promised land. You know, the Bible identifies to us through the Old Testament Scripture that Joshua was not alone. David was also victorious because God stood with him. He was victorious as a king, and friends, you and I know that he was not perfect. He certainly sinned against God from time to time, yet the Scripture tells us that he was indeed a man after God's own heart. And we see in regard to the victories that David was able to pull off, it was not because David was anything special in regard to a man living here in this world or because of his kingship, but rather because God was working beside him to deliver him as well as to help him and his people, God's people, unto victory. Today, Christians can trust that our God stands in our court. When Jesus Christ had died on the cross and appeared back into Galilee before the apostles, in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus said, "All power or authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Verse 19, we have the Great Commission. He says, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all things that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world," or the end of the age. Friends, not only did God promise Israel, Joshua, David, God also promises you and me as Christians, as His children, that He is with us along this past journey, this life's journey of which we're upon. And He is with us during the times of our battles here. How is it that God stands with us? Friends, God stands with us today because He has given us His inspired Word to guide our lives. The Scripture identifies to us as that His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And as we read that from the Old Testament Scripture in Psalm 119, verse 105, we realize that that's for David and his people, God's people of the Old Testament Scripture. But that passage also holds true for us today, is that God, through His inspired message, has given unto us all things pertaining to life and unto godliness. And the reason that God has given us His Word is so that we are not living our lives like the rest of the world, living in sin, but rather that we're living our lives according to godliness in a holy and acceptable manner. But also, not only do we understand that God stands with us because He has given us His Word to guide us, we understand also, as the Bible identifies, is that God is moving through His creation to bring forth good in our lives. The age, the days of miracles are no more. Why? Because the day of miracle was during the first century, in the working of the apostles to confirm the Word. However, when God's message was complete, His complete, inerrant, inspired Word was given to mankind fully, there was no longer a need for biblical miracles. And as a result of that, then they ceased. And now, though, we understand is that God still is actively involved in the affairs of our lives, in His creation. And we use a term that most certainly is biblical in principle and in explanation, is that God is working providentially through the laws of nature and through mankind that He has created after His image to bring forth good in our lives. He did that in the first century, and friends, He continues to do that even to this very day. Our God stands with us to bring good to our lives. But God also stands with us by listening to the requests that we have. We are told as Christians that we are to pray on an ongoing basis. The Scripture tells us that we must pray without ceasing. And that means every single day, multiple times in and throughout the course of each day, we need to access that open line that God has given us with prayer It's the way that we are able to speak to Him. And as we pray, God also tells us that we pray through our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the mediator. And as we're praying unto the Father. And the Scripture tells us then is that God listens favorably unto us. He says that the fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man avails much. And if we are living a righteous manner, not only are we able to go and to petition God, but also the Bible tells us that God stands with us. God is listening and God is working to answer the prayers that we have as long as we do not ask amiss, as long as we ask in compliance to His will. How does God stand with us? Friends, God stands with us also to offer us edification through His eternal kingdom. What a blessing it is in every sense of the aspect to be counted as a Christian. A Christian is one who is Christ-like. A Christian is one who is a child of God. A Christian is one that whenever they are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, God forgives them of their sin, and then the Bible tells us that He adds us unto His church, His eternal kingdom. And as a result of our being added unto the kingdom, friends, we are counted as a child of God. And what a blessing it is to be able to be identified as a child of the eternal God, of our Heavenly Father. And as God looks to us and individually as well as together, God wants us to work within our lives for each other to build each other up. We are to love one another as God has loved us sacrificially. We are to encourage one another on a daily basis. We are always to be there with each other to help share as well as to bear one another's burdens. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. How does God stand with us? He stands with us through His Word. He stands with us by moving providentially. God stands with us through prayer, listening to our prayers as well as answering. And friends, God stands with us hoping to edify, to encourage us through His church, through our spiritual church family. The next question that I want us to ask tonight then is, why does God stand with us? Friends, I believe God stands with us because we are His children. I know as I look out over the audience tonight that I have a lot of moms and dads. And we love our children very much. Amen? We would do anything for our children. Anything within reason. Anything that is within our power to do. And if that's true with us, isn't it also true with regard to God? As long as we are striving to live for God, and God sees that we love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we're doing our very best to walk in the light as He is in the light, that we might be able to maintain that fellowship with Him, I believe that God not only sees that, but God, because we are His children, He is there for us. He's there to encourage us during our trials. He's there to help us to see the way of escape during our temptations. He's there for us on an ongoing basis. Why? Friends, because God wants us to be victorious. He's not set us on a path of destruction. He's not set us on a path of maybe. But rather, He has set us on a path of success if we will trust in Him and do our part. But at the same time, not only to do our part, to understand that God is working behind the scenes and God is working also in the scenes with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to help us along the way so that indeed we will indeed be able to stand before Him in the day of judgment as one of His faithful children. And what a blessing that is. Why is it that God stands with us? Friends, God stands with us because of our commitment to stand with Him. The Scripture tells us in the Old Testament is that God wanted so much to be the God of Israel. And He promised them that He would be with them as long as they stood in His commandments, statutes, and ordinances. And whenever Israel did that, God was right there with them. And yet whenever Israel rebelled against God, then we see is that God is removed from Israel. And He allows destruction to come in upon them. And the same principle is true today. As we are committed to God and standing faithful to God, God sees that commitment. And based out of our commitment to God, then God's going to keep His end of the bargain. He's going to keep the promises that He made to us because we are indeed devoted to Him. And as long as we're seeking to live committed to Him, then God is going to be committed most certainly to us, the friends also. I believe that God stands with us because He understands the devil far greater than you and I will ever be able to understand, oh Satan. He knows is that not only does Satan exist, He understands that Satan is plugged into this earth and that Satan has an awareness in regard to our weaknesses and our temptations. And He also understands that Satan has the ability as well as that desire to come continually after us. And as He sees Satan coming after us, he realizes that Satan wants to do nothing more than to destroy us spiritually. He might get at us physically in order to get to us spiritually, as He did with Job. And in that, friends, God knows very well is that Satan is working as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if he's able to get to us, he's not only going to destroy our relationship with God now, he will take away that hope, that blessed hope of an eternal life in heaven with God. And therefore, God stands with us that you and I might be able to confront the devil each and every day and to stand with God as He's standing beside us through that ongoing battle that we call life. Tonight, do you have God standing in your court? Are you a New Testament Christian? Have you confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God? Have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If not, then you are standing separated from God. And therefore, God is not standing with you. But if you will put Christ on in baptism, you will have God on your side because hence you are going to be on God's side. Maybe you're here tonight and you are an erring member of the body of Christ. You've walked away from God. I find it interesting. Sometimes people will say is that God has left me. Friends, God doesn't leave us. We leave Him. God doesn't disappoint people. People disappoint people. Amen? It's always man who falls short. If we have walked away from God, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. And therefore, tonight, if you're away from God and you desire to be right with Him, you're subject to the Lord's invitation. We invite you to come.